great. We're always blessed by your ministry here to the Lord. You know, we ought to get a men's trio up here too sometime, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm thinking about volunteering.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this beautiful day you've given us. Lord, we thank you for America. Lord, we thank you for our freedom that comes from you. Lord, we thank you for your written word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that's here this morning. We thank you for your presence here, Lord. We ask that your anointing be upon all of us today, Father, to open our spiritual eyes and ears to hear and to be aware of what's going on around us. And Lord, we just praise you and give you all that glory and honor. And our expectation comes from you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I believe you're going to be doing some great things in this world. And I believe your glory is going to shine in every nation. And you will get all the credit, all the praise, all the glory.
Yes, hallelujah.
And we're literally going to see your mighty hand at work.
Yes, Jesus.
And we give you the praise and the glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise
and our hearts do go with the family that lost their 21-year-old.
Yes.
You know, when I hear young people, anyone that takes their life, you know why they do it? They're hopeless.
That's right.
Their hope is totally gone.
That's right.
That's where we come in, the church.
Yes.
We can give them hope. We have an answer.
Yes.
We have this right here.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
We need to share it. And not only share it, we need to live it in front of people.
Yes. Right.
That they know that there's people around that truly believe what's in here. And even in our attendance at coming to church is vitally important, because right across from Crossfire, there's a big apartment building. And believe me, there's people that are watching every Sunday.
Yes.
I bet they can even tell you some of the people who are driving up in their cars. That's how important we are. The Holy Spirit uses every one of us, and we need to be giving God our all in these end times. Amen?
Amen.
We are in the end times.
Yes.
Whether you believe it or not, we are there. We are literally watching things come together, and we need to be prepared for the sound of a trumpet.
Yes, right, right.
Hallelujah. There's a quote by a man named Nathan Noyes that I found yesterday. It says, as the world chooses to stand in fear, I choose to rest in the high ground of faith. Isn't that a good quote?
Yes. Yeah.
In faith rather than fear. And today, the world is in fear.
Yeah.
They are literally in fear. I go during the week, I go and I call on accounts. And at one time before all this stuff started, I could walk into a company, go anywhere I wanted to almost without getting kicked out a few times. But now when I go up these places, I can look in, but I can't get into them anymore. There's signs everywhere, all kinds of things you have to do. You got to have your picture taken. They got to see you nod your head yes before you can walk in, that you would adhere to what they're asking you to do. Fear. There's no longer receptionists a lot of these companies in the front. They don't want them there. There's fear. They don't want them there. Their people work at home. And we're living in a time of fear, literally. And so I feel I will speak on fear again, because that's going to be one of the tools of the enemy that's going to keep many people from serving the Lord in these end times,
right,
is fear. So the spirit called fear is the title of my message today. And we need to be aware of that. There may be even be somebody in here this morning that you're in total fear. You're fearful of tomorrow or whatever. You're living in fear, and you come to church because you're looking for hope. Well, you come to the right place.
Amen, amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God. We rebuke that spirit of fear in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
It has no rights to be on any of us.
That's right.
Do not let that variant Fear. Don't let that variant, fear, control your lives. And we are being lied to on a massive worldwide scale. It's to build fear, people. The enemy knows it. Satan knows it. He's at work. He's trying to bring everybody under that variant fear in order to control. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. You know it probably well. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This fear needs to be avoided at all costs. If you sense that fear coming upon you, you need to rebuke it, cast it from your life in the name of Jesus. It has no right to control your life.
Amen.
Because it's a spirit. God called it a spirit. It's not from God. It's an evil spirit. The spirit of fear. We're living in uncertain times in this world today. Uncertainty will naturally cause us to experience anxiety and fear by what we hear on the news. I would suggest turn your TVs off.
Right.
You know, we've got the great I Am,
amen.
But God gave us the iPhone too. And we can go in there and we can carry the word with us wherever we go. We can go to devotions wherever we go. But don't ever worship your iPad and iPhone.
No.
Because you got the great I Am.
Yes.
Hallelujah. As Christians, we know that God's word tells us not to fear. Amen?
Right.
Does God not tell us not to fear?
Right.
Yes.
There's a little story here I want to read, short one. One summer night during a severe thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her small son into bed. She was about to turn off the light when he asked in a trembling voice, "Mommy, will you stay with me all night?" Smiling, the mother gave him a warm, reassuring hug and said tenderly, "I can't, dear. I have to sleep in Daddy's room." A long silence followed. At last, it was broken by a shaky voice saying, "The big sissy." Fear. But look at the promises that God gives us. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 10 through 13. It starts out by saying, "Fear thou not, for," here it is, "I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." There's God with us.
Yes.
That's his promises right there. Verse 11, "Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish."
Yes.
God's glory is going to be throughout the earth. And all those that are against us right now to bring us under, they will perish.
Amen.
Verse 12, "Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." Doesn't that give you peace and comfort to know that we're serving this mighty God?
Amen.
We don't have to fear anything in this world.
That's right.
And in 2 Kings, the prophet Elijah and his servants are in the town of Dothan. You probably remember the story. They spent the night in this town. When morning came, Elijah's servants wake up and he looks over the city walls. It says in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 and 17, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servants said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do?" He was fearful. How many wake up every morning and realize we're being surrounded by the enemy right now? We hear it on the news every day. We hear it on the internet. We're being surrounded. It seems like there's no way of escape. When will it ever end? We're surrounded. And it gets more and more. The lies keep coming and the deceit keeps coming and we're surrounded by it. The servant, he was shocked when he sees that during the night the Syrian army had surrounded Dothan and were demanding Elijah be handed over to them. They want our freedom. They want the gospel stopped. We're surrounded by the enemy right now. And naturally, the servant Elijah was overwhelmed with fear because all he could see was the visible enemy army surrounding the city. That's why the church needs to be active.
Yes.
And stand for what we believe. Yes. That we need not just see the enemy. The world sees the enemy and they're fearful.
Right.
They need to see a bold church.
Amen.
Bold as a lion going forth. Verse 16 says, and he answered, fear not. For they that be with us is more than they that be with them.
Amen.
That's same with us today. There's more around us than that we see around us in the world. There's literally multitudes of angels that we cannot see that are army angels surrounding us right now. We can't see them, but they're there. They're greater than what we've seen in the world today.
Amen.
But what he could not see was the invisible army of God.
Right.
His angels that had gathered to protect God's people. It was at this point Elijah prayed to God to open his servant's eyes and let him see what his human eyes could not see. Verse 17, and Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah.
Yes.
I pray that God would open the church's spiritual eyes and ears that we can see that is surrounding us is greater than what we see in the world.
Amen.
That's what God is waiting for right now. He's separating himself out of church. It's no longer going, he knows who are going to be his followers, who are staying true and not living in fear. See, Elijah was under God's protective custody. No wonder the scriptures say in Psalms 34:7, the angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him and delivers him. God's camped around us. That's why it's so important to fear. Rick Warren several years wrote a book, and I watched his video too. He came right out and said, there's no need for us to fear God.
That's right.
That was wrong.
Yeah.
That was unscriptural. That was deceiving.
Yeah.
All through Scripture, God tells us to continue to fear him.
Yeah.
Because of his awesome.
Amen.
Who he is, his glory, his might. And we need to be aware of that. Even in the book of Deuteronomy, God says, why do my people no longer fear me? And you know what the people were doing? They were living in sin. They didn't fear God any longer. There's no God. He's not gonna judge us. And that's the way today it is too. Even within the church, people think, God's my buddy. He's the big man upstairs. That's how they talk to him today in the church. There's no fear. God calls us to fear him. Just like Elijah's servant, you and I may not physically see an army angel surrounding us in our daily struggles today. But we can rest on the comforting promise in God's word that we're under his constant protection. He's here today.
Amen.
He said he would never leave us, nor would he ever forsake us. He's here constantly.
Thank you, Lord.
In the greatest moment of whatever's happening in us, trial and tribulation, God is here. He will never leave us. He is here. And if we can just focus upon that and meditate upon the fact that he will never leave us nor forsake us, whatever you're going through, whatever your family's going through, you can call upon his name because he's there.
Yes.
Doesn't that get you excited?
Amen.
It sure does me. I tell you, the world's crying and they're in fear, and even some sitting in the church are fearful, not knowing what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. I know it. I read the book. We win because he's still here today. He's in control of what's happening in the world right now. It may look terrible and awful out there, and it may be affecting people's lives, but God is in control and we need not fear. And he is going to shine forth one of these days. And the only ones that are going to see that are the ones who are staying close to him and knowing that he's here. That's why you need to be in the word. You need to be in prayer in this hour we live. Because he's here. He's here. He's here this morning. Whether you feel him or not is not the point. He's here because he said he was. My faith says he's here.
Amen.
He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's here. I don't have to feel it. I may be going through an emotional struggle in my life and I don't sense, I don't feel. Feel has nothing to do with it. God said, the just walk by faith.
Yes.
From faith to faith. From glory to glory. Our faith. We have nothing to be afraid of. We're not alone. God's with us.
Yes.
This young lady that took her life felt that there was no God anymore. That he's not here. Everything's out of control. Nothing can happen. And she took her life. And how many today? Suicide is on the rise all around the world today. Because the enemy has duped a lot of young people too. And we need to shout from the housetop that God is alive. He's here. In fact, I know he's here because he lives in me.
Amen?
He lives in me. Psalms 23 and you. 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When that old shepherd's walking these sheep out there, he's got that staff. And those sheep depend upon that staff. It brings comfort to them and peace. And that's what God is. He's our great shepherd. And he's here guiding and directing us. And he does that through his word, by the power of his Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He's here. The valley of the shadow of death is not talking about death, but describes a place of gloom and depression and danger and affliction. How many could say, I've walked through the valley of the shadow of death? I can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Many of us have. And that's what it's talking about. It is a dark place to be. The valley of the shadow of death is talking about the darkest nights of trials and troubles in your life. It's a place of confusion. King David is going through a bad time here, but his faith in God is unshaken as he walked through that valley of the shadow of death. Even in the most dire situations, he will not be afraid because he knows God is with him.
Yes.
But you may be walking in your own valley of shadow of death right now. Maybe someone watching on Facebook today, maybe you may be walking in that shadow, the shadow, the valley of shadow of death right now. Perhaps a doctor gave you a bad report. Maybe your spouse has left you. Perhaps your job is lost. You have financial problems, disappointments in ministry, or your children are causing you pain. Or maybe you're just living in fear. Beloved, no matter what you are going through today, you're not alone.
Yes.
Say with me, I'm not alone.
Not alone.
I'm not alone. Maybe you're living alone. Maybe you're all by yourself where you live. You're not alone.
Amen.
There's three other people with you. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And they'll never leave you. God is with you. And his presence gives you strength and hope. That's what we need to share with the world. Christ in us, the hope of glory. If somebody asks you, where do you get your hope from? You can say, Christ in me is the hope of glory. He saved me from my sin and gave me a future and a hope, Jeremiah 29:11. He's got a purpose and a plan for me. So don't be afraid. He's working out your testimony. The season that you're in right now, if you're in trials and tribulation, that will pass.
Yes.
I walked through 15 years of fear as a young Christian. It hit me early on, man. But I fought it all the way. And I got the victory.
Amen.
I got the victory. Because I stood on the Word of God, even as difficult times I walked through. I stayed with the Word of God. I didn't go to booze. I didn't go to drugs. I didn't go to anything else. I went to Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
And he gave me the victory. I fought it all the way according to the way God said to do it. I probably could have gotten it through it faster if I'd been a little more, you know, knowledgeable of the Word of God. But I was learning all the way that what I needed to do. And I took the steps, and it wasn't easy.
It isn't easy.
But I stood on the Word of God, and God gave me the victory.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When I was in the peak of that, you would have never caught me standing up here. You wouldn't even caught me walking inside of a store. That's how great that fear was. I couldn't stand talking to someone in front of them for more than a minute. I'd be fearful. And it hounded me. But God gave me the victory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God. See, the rain of affliction will stop. And the sun of your glory will shine again. There's hope for us tomorrow, whatever you go through. For everyone who's walking in the valley of the shadow of death, for everyone with a depressing medical report, for everyone who's lonely and hopeless, let the Holy Spirit of God strengthen and comfort you in that time, and He will when you call upon Him. He will do it.
Yes.
The devil will try to make you think that it's no hope, but he's a liar.
Amen.
You have hope. God is our hope. Our living God is our hope. In this hour we live, we have hope. It's time to come out of the pit of depression. Some of us are living in depression, and it's time to come out of it. It's a lie from the pits of hell.
Yes, it is.
It's a time to walk out of the valley of the shadow of death. God has a new beginning for you, and it's not over yet. He's going to take us all the way to the end. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
All the way. Amos 5:8. God literally turns the shadow of death into morning. Not morning like, but a new day.
Yeah.
Look it up. Amos 5:8. He turns it into morning. It will pass. The Bible says this too shall pass away. The dictionary defines fear as distressing emotion aroused by impending pain, danger, evil, different things as such, or by the illusion of such. And boy, we're getting a lot of that today too.
Yes.
Fear exists in two forms. Again, the fear of the Lord, which is to reverence God. That's the fear of the Lord. And the spirit of fear, which Satan wants to use to keep us in control. We are told in the Bible to fear God. The fear of God is godly, respectful, positive, and is beneficial and productive. And many Christians don't even understand that. When we fear God, God gives us some great promises.
Yes.
Let me just touch on a few real quick. 1 Samuel 12:14. If ye will fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God.
Jesus.
And you say, but Pastor, that's the Old Testament. That's for you and I too.
Right.
The whole Word of God is for us too.
Right.
It's put in there. It's a living Word. It's a living Word. It never goes away. It will be for all eternity. This word will last. We can claim that. Psalms 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You need wisdom? Fear God.
Right.
A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Hallelujah. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil.
Amen.
Fear God, people. There's some benefit in it.
Praise.
Proverbs chapter 14, verses 26 and 27, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge.
Yes.
Who's his children? You and I are. When we fear him, we've got a place of refuge where we can run to. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. How many people die early in their life from heart attack, from different diseases, because they live their life in fear? But when we live our life in the fear of the Lord, which is a reverence and an awe of His glory, that's the benefit. That's the benefit. When we give over to sickness and disease and wallow in that and everything, fear comes upon us and robs us of this life that God says He's going to give us. In fact, the sure sign that a person is on the way to ruin is when he or she does not fear God. And I see that every day today.
Right.
In the church and out of the church. When Jethro advised Moses to place judges in the land to help him with order and decisions, he told Moses to choose men who fear God. Isn't that amazing? He didn't choose some big beefed up guy holding a 1,000 pounds over his head. God wanted somebody that feared God. Moses said, choose somebody that fears God. He knew he had a man of God when he would do that. Glory to God. Exodus 18:21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and a place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. The sad thing today, standing behind pulpits, are many times there's pastors living in blatant habitual sin because they've lost the fear of God. I'm giving you the truth, people, in the hour we live. We have many people sitting in churches that are living in habitual sin because they've lost the fear of God, not realizing you're dealing with the God of the universe, the Creator. And we need to remember that. If you do not have the fear of God, you need to ask God to put that back within your spirit. Read it in here, what a great God He is. And you'll learn to love and respect and reverence Him. While the spirit of fear is evil, negative, detrimental, unproductive, that's what fear is. The spirit of fear that has nothing good within it. It's evil, it's hurtful, it's harmful, it's injurious. It has kept many in captivity, by the way. There's many Christians in churches today that are in captivity and don't even realize it, because fear has got them there. Many who ought to be doing exploits for God and in life are merely existing instead of being thankful to the Lord. They're living in the spirit of fear, of which they have yielded themselves to. Satan, the enemy of our soul, has used fear effectively as a weapon over the ages to stop those who should be champions. He's made lame those who should be leaping. People will take their sicknesses and they'll live in their sicknesses instead of fighting against it according to the Word of God, that God says that we are healed. Now, that's a whole sermon. I can't go there, but I tell you what. God literally took our sicknesses and diseases and cast them away. Go in and study that. Isaiah 53:5. He carried our burdens, our griefs, and He cast them away. Satan has used fear to break the wings of many eagles. He's made sick those who should be strong and healthy. And he has used fear to localize or restrict to one location those who should be world changers. That's what he was trying to do to me. I wanted to serve the Lord, but I was so in fear, I couldn't even hardly leave my house. My wife will verify it. And I knew that I was in captivity, in fear. But praise God, deliverance came.
Yes.
I look up at the sky, I see an airplane, and say, Lord, I could never get in one of those. And when God brought deliverance, I was in them almost every single week doing my business. And then God used me overseas in Russia, Ukraine, Moldova, flying around the world preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Because I took authority over the fear. I ran toward the fear and I conquered it in Jesus' name. Not because I'm great, because He's great. And He is the one I fear, not the fear.
Yes.
And many Christians have never served God the way they should because they allow fear to dictate their life. And we should never do that. Amen?
Amen.
You still with me?
Yes.
Just wave at me with this hand. Now put the other one and do the same thing. And now say, I'm Pentecostal.
Pentecostal.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, he that fears is not made perfect in love. Did you know that? Fear is a serious matter, people. We need to understand that. It's crippling. It's paralyzing. It's tormenting. How many know fear is tormenting?
Right.
1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. Fall in love with Jesus, people. Fall in love with Jesus so much. Don't just say, I love Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. The more you're in love with Jesus, the less fear is can hang around. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's Jesus. And I love the Lord Jesus. Until people confront their fear, they remain slaves to it. Most importantly, the denial of the Lord and the rejection of Jesus Christ because of the fear of men will indeed lead to torment. You can find that in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. The very first group of people who will not enter heaven, fearful. The fearful will do nothing for God. They will be a stumbling block to many. They will always be fearful. That's the first group that will not enter heaven. Fear is not something Christians should walk or live in. And if you are in that, you need to warfare it and walk out of it. And you will get the victory.
Yes.
You will get the victory.
Yes.
So we have a few points to note about fear. Fear is a basic human emotion, isn't it? I'm not going to put my hand on a hot stove.
Right.
That's a fear that's just common sense. That's not what Scripture's talking about. It respects no one, fear. Fear is not a respecter of persons. Fear does not care who you are or where you are. It doesn't care. Fear attacks people of all colors, all economic levels, and all backgrounds. There's whole nations that are caught under fear. They can't get deliverance. Because of the fear of man more than anything. Dictators. The mighty, fire-breathing prophet Elijah experienced the power of fear after his great victory against the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. And that's important to know. Even though we get victory, we can have fear attack us again. And when we do, we need to understand, we need to war it and rebuke it and resist it in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Fear made him, Elijah, to run. It invited the spirit of depression and suicidal thoughts within him.
Right.
It holds up a magnifying glass to make things appear larger than they may actually be. When you and I are living in fear, the thing that we're fearful is seems much bigger in the reality than it is. Fear causes us to reduce the size of God and elevate the size of our challenges. We serve a big God.
Yes.
When your challenge seems large to you, you have a family member or friend, and they seem, this thing is so big, there's no way. You can say, I serve a big God.
Right.
Remind people of that. He's a big God. He's a supernatural creating God. He creates. That's who he is. He created the universe. He holds the waters of the world in the palm of his hands. That's how big my God is. Fear can steal your strength. It says, and you can read, I'm not going to go through this right now because of lack of time, but Matthew 14, verses 25 and 31. You remember Peter when he jumped out of the old boat?
Yep.
His faith. He had faith in Jesus, didn't he? Jesus said, come on to me. Peter, first guy that gets out. I don't knock the guy, I tell you what. I don't know if I would have gotten out.
Right.
Can you imagine the boisterous water and the winds blowing, the waves, and they're rocking the boat, and they're away probably above their head. And Jesus says, come on to me. You know, he jumps out and he's walking. He's looking at Jesus, and all of a sudden he looks sideways. Should have never done that. Here comes that big boisterous wave, and it's rolling as it's coming toward him. It's black. The sky's black. The wind's howling, and he looks away, and he looks the other way, and he looks up, and he's not looking at Jesus. But we know the story, don't we? There's Jesus. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He lifted him up. He saved him, didn't he? See, he's there in the middle of our storm. We, even when our faith is lacking, he is there. And he will deliver us from the storm of life when we look to him. He will do that. Again, fear is a tormentor. It is a spiritual attack to steal your peace and your destiny. It hinders progress and development. Fear is a spirit, but it is not given to man by God. It's from Satan. God tells us again, 2 Timothy 1:7, he has not given us the spirit of fear. And as we go into the world, the Bible says the evil will wax worse and worse. We are going to see even more horrendous things happening in our world, threatenings that are going to come to our lives. We're not to fear it. We're not to fear it, people. Don't fear it. The world is going to get darker and darker, and that's not a gloom and doom. That's exciting because Jesus told us he's coming.
Yes.
But we're going to see some and hear some things that are going to bring fear into the world, which it already has. New variants coming, new things coming. You hear about concentration camps, all this stuff, all to put fear and to control the populations of the world.
Yes.
God has told us not to fear that. He's in control. God is in control. They could make all the big plans they want and try to put all the things in place they want, but in the end, God wins.
Amen.
Amen.
He has already won.
Yes.
For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear dictates our everyday actions many times. Actions motivated by fear fall into four types: freeze, fight, flight, or fright. Should I read those again?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Actions motivated by fear fall into four types: freeze, fight, flight, or fright. Now I want each one individually to come up here and repeat it. See, I would have melted at one time if somebody said that to me. I'd... To overcome a powerful enemy, you need a powerful ally, and that's Jesus.
Right.
Yes.
What did I just say earlier? Greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. See, I have the power to overcome fear, not within myself, but who lives within me.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost in me. I have the power. God says, I give you the power to become the sons of God. I have power in me, and the Satan lies to many of us, and he deceives us, and we do not realize that God has given us the authority and the power to overcome fear, anything that comes against our life. Trusting him. Proverbs 18:24. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. Perfect love. Where's your love with the Lord? Answer that to yourself, between you and the Lord. How much do you really truly love the Lord? Are you willing to speak his name in public? Or does it bring fear? You know something? It's just me. We're all in different levels. But I finally look to the place where I can say his name in public and not be fearful. Because see, here's my attitude. The world can use his name in swearing and tell dirty jokes, say evil things, and not blush.
Yeah.
That gives me strength. My power rises up in me, the Holy Spirit, and I'm able to say, I don't care to hear that, because I live my life for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what happens? Many times they bow to that.
Yeah.
Not because of me, because of who I live for and lives within me. People, we need to stand up as a church and be bold as lions in this hour we live. John chapter 15, 14, 15. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Jesus told us all through his written word. It's right here. There's no more. It's right here. We need to read it. We need to understand it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Faith activates God, and fear activates the enemy. Fear is the greatest enemy of faith. Did you know that? It's the greatest enemy. God wants to deliver everyone who struggles with fear. When we learn to live by faith and not let fear control us, we begin to live a fulfilling, satisfying, peaceful, joyful, victorious life, even in the middle of trials. We can be fully victorious and conquer the areas of our life. When God's people are free from fear, they can walk in power and authority and victory. When there's no fear, fear will prevent one from doing the will of God. A key to overcoming fear is ending the root of where it began. What you cannot identify, you cannot confront. If you are tormented by the spirit of fear, ask the Holy Spirit to show you the root of that reason. Why am I fearful? Yes. Why am I? When he shows you a root cause of fear, take that to him in prayer and say, God, help me there. And he will. For children, fear could be due to traumatic experiences they may have gone through or because of horror movies they may have watched. Quit letting your kids watch horror movies.
Yes. Yes.
They don't need to watch The Walking Dead. They don't need... Did you know that in 1999 there's a video game that Bill Gates came out with called Omicron?
No.
Oh.
Where demons take the souls of men. And kids are playing on those in their video games. Satan works through video games. Satan works through television. Satan works through the internet. Many times we invite Satan within our homes through these devices. And Christians are as guilty as the world. And then we wonder why we have problems. We have fear and we have anger and we have hatred coming. We open the door to satanic attack. Fear literally will come in through your screens as demons see that we're being drawn to those things. What are your kids watching? What are they playing with? Fear will be the ultimate cause of many of their collapses and failures. A large part of fear is a response to the horror of painful experiences in life, and we know about those. We have seen many cases of parents asking for prayers because the children are having nightmares and trouble sleeping as a result of watching these late night horror movies. And I tell you, movies aren't like they used to be.
No.
Blood and guts is blood and guts. They show it all. They keep nothing out anymore, amongst many other things. And kids are fearful. Little minds, young minds that haven't matured are receiving that stuff into their very being. Why do we hear reports, even like just recently, this young boy who went into the school and killed?
Yeah.
Where do you think that comes from? Parents, be parents.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Grandparents, be grandparents.
Right.
Say no. Some fears have generational roots. Fear can become a stronghold in our lives, even when we experience trauma. Being in an accident, witnessing violence, or having other traumatic experiences can make one vulnerable to a spirit of fear. Rape victims will live in fear most of their life. Today, you must conquer your fears in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God can bring deliverance no matter what that experience has. Jesus can give you victory.
Right.
You can be free. We serve a God who can heal us today from whatever happened yesterday.
That's right.
Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Look what he did when we read about him in Scripture. The people who were in fear. He can heal and free us so that we no longer live in the presence and response as something that happened in the past. As humans, when we do something wrong, we feel guilty, don't we? Should we fear exposure and punishment? Oh no, somebody's going to find out. We fear disappointing people or public humiliation, so we lie to cover up the sin. Still, we're afraid that our lies will be discovered one day, and the fear will make us drive deeper into lying. Today, Jesus Christ is calling you. He's saying, come to him with your fears, your guilt, and your burdens. That's who we come to. Let the light of God bring it into the open. See, many people hide their guilt and their burdens and their things in their life, and they don't realize they're giving Satan fuel. But once it comes to the light, he loses his power. Because now we're trusting in the Lord rather than in the fear. The light of God is our pathway to freedom, people. I wish more and more of us would understand that. If we've got things in our life that need to be confessed, do it. I'm not talking from a microphone up here. I'm talking wherever it has to be done, do it. If it's a friend, a relative, someone you totally trust 100%, you can relay things and get free from whatever's happening, and you got somebody else to come along and battle with you. Satan uses fear to stop great destinies. Is he using fear to stop you in anything in your life? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Fear of death? Fear of failure? Fear of ridicule or misery? There's people who are fearful of what people think of them. Fear of poverty or misery? Fear of pain? Fear of loneliness? Fear of disappointment? Fear of rejection? Fear of loss of freedom and liberty? Fear of the unknown? Fear of tomorrow? If you fit in any of those categories, you need to get rid of it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm learning, of course, I'm getting to be a really old guy now. But I'm learning less and less to be fearful of what man thinks of me than ever before. That's freedom.
Amen.
See, not one person in here needs to like me. But you have to love me. And if you say, I don't love you, then you don't have the love of the Father.
That's right. That's right.
I have to love you back. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Kind of makes you feel free. Where's the fear now? I don't have to worry.
Yes.
So if the whole crowd in here doesn't like me, so what? God loves me and I know they love me. They just don't like me. Causes of fear, conflict, health problems, attacks through dreams. How many of our dreams you wake up in the morning and say, oh,
yes.
Dangerous situations, death, unmet needs. Fear can also result from demonic attacks, false beliefs, prayerlessness.
Yes.
Oppression, depression. Traumas. So to overcome fear, it says in Job 22:21, see, God, know God and be known of God, because he is the final answer to human fears. Listen to Job 22:21. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. Invite Jesus into your life if you have not done that, and he'll give you another spirit. John 14, verses 16 and verse 26. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whosoever I have said unto you. Acts 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the earth. That's the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That's the spirit that needs to be living in you and I as Christian believers, and is. And if you're in here this morning, you've never had that happen. You need to do that quickly.
Amen.
Again, embrace the love of God. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear is torment. Grow your faith by exercising your spiritual muscles. 1 Samuel 17, 32-37. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against a Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. See, they're trying to put fear in him. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered out of the mouth. And with he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him.
Amen.
David ran through the fear. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and his uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. Did you hear him?
Amen.
Go against the thing that's bringing fear into your life. Go after it and get conquering it.
Yes.
You will conquer it when you go after it. Because if you're running from it, there's no armor on your back.
That's right.
God's given us armor, but it's all here as we face the enemy. Nothing back here. You know who's back here? People always say, I got the devil chasing me. I don't. Goodness and mercy are back here.
Yes.
Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's who's back here. The devil's up here. Every step of my life, he's trying to take me out. And I'm either going to refrain from going after him, or I'm going to be a slave to him, or I'm going to conquer him by going forward, whatever it is. And he'll try, and he will keep trying. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Saul should have went. So confront your fears. Confronting a fear, exposing yourself to the thing, the person that is causing the fear. If it's a person, go to them. If it's a boss, if it's a relative, if it's a brother, sister, mom, dad, whomever it is, if there's fear there, go to them. Don't back away from them. Exposure can be sudden or gradual in large or small doses. Confronting it means exposing yourself to the things, person, or situation that makes you afraid. Make a list of the things that cause you to be fearful and rank them in the order of their severity. It's good to do that. Take the least troublesome one and begin working on that, exposing yourself to it until it's gone. That's how you do it. Build on this success and attack the next one on the list in the same matter. Missionaries many times on the field are threatening their lives continually. They can either run and come back home, or they can fight. And I know that from personal experience. I had one guy approach me. Actually, two. He said he's going to kill us. He didn't kill us. Guess what? I'm here. Guess what? He's born again.
Amen.
He's a preacher of the gospel today. He was going to kill us, the missionary I was with and me. He kept right up in our face right here. I'm going to kill you. He's killed many men. He thought God could never forgive him. We told him there's hope. God can forgive you. Nothing you've done on this earth, unless you come to God and repent, he'll save you right now. Man stood there, wept in front of us, committed his life to Christ.
Amen.
And he started preaching in the villages. We can't run from fear.
Right.
Focus on God, not your problems or your challenges. Trust in God's timing, not your own timing. Believe God irrespective of your situation and circumstance. Learn to obey God one step at a time. Amen. Be in the atmosphere of praise and worship. That's why Amy and the music people up here are telling us, worship God. Worship him. Come on, people. Worship him and praise him.
Yes.
When we do that, we're getting full of victory.
Yes.
We're able to conquer. Many times people will get healed in their seats when they begin to truly worship God and let loose. Well, I'm afraid somebody might look. I'm an old German Lutheran. I just don't do those kinds of things. Norwegian. Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody said, boy, Deacon, you sure look stupid up there with your hands in the air. Yeah. Thank you. You don't like me anyway. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Glory to God. Go tell the world how stupid I look. But I praise him.
Yes.
I glorify him.
Yes.
Victory. I'm going to say in conclusion? I could keep on going on, but how many knows I can keep going on? Lastly, meditate on God's word daily.
Yeah.
Pray about the fears that you're experiencing in your life. And here's Philippians 4, 6, and 7, which we all know very well, too. It's a very good one. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. There it is right now. We need to be in prayer. We need to be in prayer. God encouraged us not to fear. In fact, the phrase fear not is used over 370 times in Scripture. So you got one for every day of the week. Fear not. Fear not. But the fact is, we all have some fears to wrestle with one time or another. But like David, we must reject the spirit of fear. We need to reject it. Amen? We need to reject it. We need to rebuke it in our life. Psalms 27, 1, 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come against me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host shall encamp me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, on this I will be confident. Let's all stand. Praise God. Glory to God. Is there anyone in this morning that they struggle with fears? I have, maybe will again one day too. But is there anybody right now you're just struggling with fear? Just put your hand up in the air. Come on, be honest. The Holy Spirit knows. Holy Spirit knows. It's better to be honest. Don't be fearful. Don't care what anybody thinks. Is there fear in your life? I'm going to have you just come up with me. You folks have put your hand up in there. We're not going to embarrass anybody. But sometimes it helps by faith to expose so that the enemy knows. See, some of us want to come across that we're so spiritual. We shouldn't have any, though. And many times we miss out what God wants to do in our life. Come on, let's be honest. God knows. I'm already up here. I fight with fears in my life off and on, and I got to keep doing it. So I'm gonna have you repeat with me some things I put down here real quickly. Will you do that? And you people out in here do it too. The ones who, some of you didn't come up and some of you didn't raise your hand. Okay? Oh God, my Father, forgive me for not trusting in you. Always in you.
Always.
In Jesus' name.
Spirit and power of fear.
Loose your grip upon my life.
Now in Jesus' name.
Powers that say I will not go far.
I bind you.
Release me now.
In Jesus' name.
Holy Spirit.
Carry me beyond every limitation.
In Jesus' name.
Any rope
dragging me backward
and holding me from going far,
break now
in Jesus' name.
Any power attacking me
with the weapons of failure
at the edge of my breakthroughs,
enough is enough.
Release me and die
in Jesus' name.
Spirit of fear
and terror,
come out of my life
in Jesus' name.
I refuse to fear
because God has not given me
the spirit of fear,
but of power
and of love
and of a sound mind
in Jesus' name.
I break every curse
and evil covenant
that has brought fear into my life
in the name of Jesus.
Terror of the night
that has brought fear into my life,
release me and die
in Jesus' name.
Every bondage
that has been subjected by the spirit of fear,
break and release
me in Jesus' name.
I recover 100-fold
every good thing
I've lost as a result of fear
in Jesus' name.
Thank you, God, for answering my prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated. Real quickly, just to make sure, even if I know everybody, I'm going to say it. Is there anyone in here that has never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? The Bible says, please keep standing, please. Before the Lord right now. This is important. The most important part, actually, the whole sermon service. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. And the wages is death, separation from God for all eternity. Is there anybody in here said, Pastor, if I died today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Is there anybody? Just slip up your hand. Is there anyone? Just to make sure. Is there anyone? Praise the Lord. I pray that that is true. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we now come before you. We thank you for this day, Lord. And Lord, we thank you so much that we know this fear that it may have been a bondage to us did not come from you. According to your word, you said you've not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I pray that everyone at the sound of my voice right now and over social media will understand that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you are the one that gives us the power. You are the one who keeps our minds sound and stable through your word to be overcomers, to be conquerors, to be victorious in every area of our life. And so, Lord, we surrender our very beings to you, trusting you, Lord. And I pray you touch every home. Bless them financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, domestically, whatever need there is, Lord, that you, through your power, you are the source. You are the I am of everything that we have need of in this life. And we are so thankful, Lord. And we love you. We praise you. We glorify you. And give us a week where we can be used to touch somebody's life with your word. And should you come this week, Lord, we look forward to your soon return. But Lord, we also desire to be used for you to reach a lost and dying world with hope. And we praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Anybody needs prayer? I'll be up here a little while too, and I'll pray with anyone too. But praise the Lord. Look at somebody and said, I will not walk in the spirit of fear.